25 random things about you. 1, when I tell people who don't know you that you've been in prison for 6 weeks now, they look incredulous. 2, I think of you and Tarek in a cell in Egypt with 30 other men, few of whom will understand English. Films like Midnight Express, with their homoerotic content, push themselves forward. Your pictures are everywhere now, all over the internet. You're both so handsome, you look like movie stars. 3, there you were last night, a sobbing voice across the street, on the curb. Does anyone else hear you? My window was shut, but I heard you anyway. What were you crying about? I can't help but think you have a broken heart. 4, I live in a world where no one pays attention to a young woman sobbing on a curb in the middle of the night. 5, Tarek's photo struck me differently than yours. He has what I'd call sensual lips. I'll be honest, I find him very sexy. I wonder if you're just friends or if being in prison will make something happen, but I don't even know if he's gay in the first place. 6, but how did your photo strike me? I remember kissing you. I remember having sex with you. I especially want to say this because it feels forbidden now. Without much debate, we all began to omit your homosexuality from our letters and press releases, despite much of your work having gay content. It's not a fact that will spur the Egyptians to release you from prison. 7, after I wrote this, my nipple started to itch. 8, during a long poetry reading yesterday, I massaged your neck. You didn't ask me with words. Your request came in a gesture. Once I started, I closed my eyes, and I remembered that you like it hard. 9, it's a lot of work to give a hard massage. I won't say it hurts, but it takes effort. And I started feeling some kind of pain that I decided to read as your pain moving into me. I would take it away, through your body, into mine, from hands to shoulders, through me, back out, to wherever it came from. 10, it's hard to talk about you without using your name. 11, without a name, you could be anybody. 12, and that's not my point. You are not anybody at all. 13, is there something bad about my pornographic fantasies? I want to have sex with both of you in a prison setting, with a lot of people, in fact. I've been calling the president of my school and 2 museum directors to come to a meeting at the consulate. We've done petitions, editorials, and letters of support. Even if they're not exactly bad, sexual fantasies are not going to get you both released. 14, I want him to be gay. I want you to have sex with him, and me too. Obviously, I guess, since it's all happening in my fantasies. 15, I closed my eyes and remembered everything about your neck. I remember it separate from you and separate from any words or thoughts. 16, it's a familiar topography, even though I only touched it once before. But I know this part of your body, and I'd recognize it in the night, in the dark, if I stumbled upon it unknowingly. 17. Is there a way that a pornographic fantasy can be an act of resistance? 18. After I scratched my left nipple, my right nipple felt itchy. 19. Once we went to Sachsenhausen together. It was a wet, gray day, and we had to get up early to fit it into our schedule. We were supposed to find the words, we were surprised to find the words, Arbeit macht frei, in wrought iron over the front gate. That quote is famously at Auschwitz, but we supposed that other concentration camps could have copied it. We spent a long time looking at the 1950s model in the interpretive exhibit. It was a full replica of the camp at its height, with light bulbs, little figurines, and cotton smoke coming from the chimneys. It had a system of knobs to push so you could see what happened where, which barracks housed the perverts, and which ones the political prisoners. We'd played with it again on our way out. 20. Is there something I don't understand about you that makes my nipples itchy? 21. Arbeit macht frei more or less means work will set you free. We don't need to talk about how brutal it is to say these words to a group of prisoners. No one went free. Not many got out alive. 23. It's a sick promise, really. Work hard, and you might not die. 24. It comforts me to think that if I lost my mind, if I got Alzheimer's or something, I might be able to keep something else. If I still know your neck, maybe I'll remember all the bodies and all the parts of the people I've touched. And they could come to me and I'd touch them and remember all those things outside of words or ideas, a way of knowing grounded in flesh. Of course, I've spelled all this out in words. 25. But I had to. 25 random things about you. 2. 1. When I checked in 3 days ago, you insisted that I take my 2 key cards to my room. You might find a friend, you said to me, and then told me the internet login is guest and the password is passion. 2. Last weekend, we found out that the Egyptian government intends to press charges against you both. But for what? 3. We joked about the friendliness of the motel, and you used the phrase, love hotel. 4. It made me think of Japan, despite the fact that you're from New Zealand, like my cousins, and you have the same voice, and even look a lot like my cousin Sarah. 5. Someone posted a letter you wrote together about your imprisonment with more details. It's harrowing to read. In fact, I read it and then went away and didn't think about it. So I had to come back and read it again to understand. 6. Stuck in Cairo for the day, you wandered to Tahrir Square, where a peaceful demonstration was beginning to get violent. First one man was shot, then another. Tarek began to give emergency aid, and you, with your camera, quote, shooting a record of the carnage that was unfolding. 7. You fed me last night, and for that I will love you forever. 8. Wherein that love dwells is hard to say, but I'm certain it is somewhere between the stomach and the soul. Okay, who knows? My love might even stretch south to the genitals. 9. I'm not promising anything, though. 10. We had coffee instead of going to any of the panels the last afternoon of the conference. It was sweet, flirty, and gossipy, the best gossip, the gossip that's more about complicity than about the exchange of innuendo. 11. You saw over 50 Egyptians die. Quote, students, workers, professionals, professors, all shapes, all ages, unarmed, quote. The body count at the end of the day was twice that, over 100. 12. Long ago I read a book on gossip and grooming about the link between human gossip and primate grooming, both forms of exchange that intensify social bonds. Gossip is like placing little nits on each other's body, rather than picking them off. 13. I wish this could have happened when I had a crush on you 6 years ago. 14. I've been writing an essay on sweetness, and I'm circling around the phrase, you're so sweet. That the way it's said, the echo of something weird inside it. 15. When I had dinner with Sarah Schulman last night, she said you had seen atrocities. 16. Sweetness is double-edged, a symbol for that which is good, but not necessarily good for us. 17. There are post-its all over the walls of your apartment, and they look like poems. Most are menu lists, like the one that says, menu, head, gold, dogs, lamb, cake. 18. A lot of things can be four-letter words. 19. You're in the New York Times today with details of your letter in quotes. Quote, that's when we were, colon, arrested, searched, caged, questioned, interrogated, videotaped with a Syrian terrorist, you said. Quote, slapped, beaten, ridiculed, hotboxed, refused phone calls, stripped, shaved bald, accused of being foreign mercenaries. Quote, 8 of you in an 11 by 17 cell sleeping on concrete with cockroaches and sharing a single tap of Nile water. You had, quote, a precisely etched boot print bruise on your back for a week. 20, what can I possibly do to help you? 21, I just ate your heart and I will never be the same. 22, a chocolate heart, of course, and you made it. 23, that was a literary device. 24, maybe the weird echo is of the Garden of Eden. Eve betrays Adam, or Eve seduces Adam with an apple. Take your pick. 25, what is it about chocolate anyway? 25 random things about you. 3, 1. In a letter about your arrest, you called it, quote, that bloody day. Yesterday on Democracy Now, they said you witnessed a massacre. 2. And all that camera equipment you had with you for a trip to Gaza. 3. I touched the plasticine pigs in your studio, and I realize now my fingerprints are on them. They're models for a series, and now every cast will have a trace of me. 4. There's a bit of buzz online about the two small drones you had in your baggage. Someone called them helicopters, but come on. 5. You're so sweet. 6. You said they were to move medical supplies in Gaza, but people say that sounds hollow, to move supplies from where to where with a little helicopter that also happens to have a camera. No wonder the Egyptians are suspicious. 7. Recently, I found the term antagonist-protagonist. The protagonist is the irresistible force, and the antagonist is the immovable object. The protagonist, 8. The protagonist represents our initiative, our fire to change, sometimes change everything. The antagonist embodies our reticence to change anything. 9. Did you know that I was working on a project with drones, shooting videos and writing poems about them? I guess everyone is interested in drones now, and rightly so. We will never be alone again. 10. You probably didn't. Neither of us is good at staying in touch. 11. The drive to change everything versus the drive to keep everything as it is. 12. At the time, everything about you was about me too. I couldn't keep them separated. When you weren't feeling well, I felt it too. If you were angry at me, I was angry too. 13. Do you remember the time you were feeling sick and we were on the phone? You were too sick to talk, but you didn't want me to hang up. So I stayed on the line and listened to you breathe, and I loved it. Soon we were breathing in sync. I felt that with each breath, I could make you better and take your illness away. This became an emblem for me. I loved you so much, I was happy just to listen to your breath, even on the phone line, when we both knew I'd rather have been in your bed, beside you, with my arms around you, or you name it. 14. Today I still feel guilty about my prison sex fantasies. 15. I've been thinking about commitment, not as in marriage or monogamy, but as a political category. I envy this about you and find it incredibly attractive. 16. I also feel guilty that I had a crush on you, a guy young enough to be my son, thought it might lead to something, but doubted it would, and then felt crushed after you canceled because you just slept with someone else. 17. There's also the phrase, I want to eat you, or you look good enough to eat. 18. Someone else. 19. Really, do I need more words than that? Do I need a metaphor, a literary figure? 20. I don't think so. 21, you have a kind of commitment I lack. You had it about ACT UP, about Palestine, about labor and prostitute rights. You always did more than you were asked, devoted your time to these things and made work about them. 22, the antagonist protagonist is more complicated. He thrusts forth and pushes back, sometimes at the same time. He gives you what you want and then takes it away. 23, you just texted me on Grindr. I'll use a pseudonym since I'm not certain you're who you say you are. We'll call you Bob and me Matt. 25, in place of commitment or beside it, I have doubt.